a lot of issues, and it's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting conversation.
And I mean, I had a forum over the weekend at Temple Beth Israel, and for some reason, the entire forum was focused on transportation options. I wish Steve had been there so I could have been a little more thoughtful in my answers. But a lot of people were saying things like, we need more park and ride, that it would our system would work better if there's a place to park that's affordable and then get on MAX or light rail. Obviously, other cities have put housing in high-density areas around stops because that's another way of encouraging people to, you know, not have a car. So as this thing unfolds, I think I'd be interested in knowing some of those framework questions in addition to the opportunity questions.
Okay. Good. It's an exciting area. I mean, I do think this part of Central East Side is one of the great opportunities we have for the city. We can move on to Gateway. Get you that page number really quick here. 120. So on Gateway, once again, a fairly somewhat resource constrained URA, mainly just because of its size. And so we're trying to address things across a number of fronts. The main expenditure that we have programmed in Gateway, both next year and the year after, is our investment in the new Gateway Park. So I know that's an exciting development in Gateway. What we're doing at the same time is we're embarking develop a strategy for the Halsey-Weidler corridor, and that's always been the spine of the neighborhood, and I think we continue trying to figure out ways to further activate that corridor. But it does play into, we were just talking with the mayor yesterday about how we think about the park and the commercial corridor interacting so that they support each other and create activity on the park, but the park is part of the experience on the commercial district. So that's active work as well. We infrastructure work, street construction. Obviously, people know that there's kind of missing elements of the street grid in many parts of Gateway, and so we continue to try and tackle that kind of one street at a time. We are remain active in thinking about how to activate development around the transit center, and so we've had, we're having conversations frequently about potential opportunities there. We still believe that there's a lot more development that can happen in that at that site. The next one is North McAdam. Despite a lot of the recent conversation around North McAdam and the expansion and our ambitions for North McAdam, we're entering a phase of North McAdam where resources are limited, we moved a few years back. We moved out of the phase in which we were borrowing ahead. We issued our first long-term debt, and so now it's a much more controlled investment pattern in North McAdam. The main thing we're working on is to try and move forward with a development agreement with the ZRZ and Zidell family on their parcel. And then planning for the infrastructure needed to support development on both their parcel as well as the OHSU parcel. So we're looking at the first major infrastructure project we'll take on in that part of the district will be Bond, the North South Street that is needed in that part of the district. But then in out years we'll be tackling the things like the Gateway as well as helping push forward the reconfiguration of the southern end of South Waterfront, we call the South Portal. This does not have yet any projections around the expansion area, the priorities for PSU, so that will not be part of this coming year's budget. If we get to the point where we amend the district in that way, then future budgets will begin to incorporate those priorities and those resources.
Patrick, looking at page 73, it looks like at least through 14, 15, I can't tell beyond, there's virtually no money to address the additional 200 units of affordable housing we committed to. What is your current projection of when enough TIF is generated through new development and other activities that, that there is a pot that we can spend.
For affordable housing? So on the budget, you said 73. I'm looking at 127. That's just the maybe the same, but that's the North McAdam budget. The five-year forecast, it is, the resources are quite minimal for the next three fiscal years. In 17, 18, and 18, 19 is when we begin to have resources for affordable housing.
I'm sorry, yeah, page 73 stops. I see, 73 is the one-year snapshot. You're looking at the five. So it's 17, 18.
Yeah.
And is that based on assumptions about development and TIF-generating activity, or is that funded through some other mechanism?
It's mainly through our current assumptions about TIF generation.
And, for example, if we're fortunate enough to get the Knight Center and some other things in the district, this could change some of our...
Yeah, I mean, with North McAdam, it's always tricky. We cannot presume development that we don't know about when we do projections. We know some development would occur, and so for the purpose of our forecast, I think we're conservative. So I think we all hope that there'll be more TIF available, and we can run scenarios that assume all sorts of development happening on the Zidell site and OHSU. But for now, it's a fairly conservative set of assumptions. But when we think about it, when we map it out, and this was very an active part of our conversations with PSU, we're really talking about what happens like 5 years from now. It's not the next 5 years is still a pretty minimal set of activities. And then if the new development comes online, then I think we see more money for affordable housing. We see more money for the PSU priorities, for Zidell priorities, and OHSU. But we are looking at a kind of a dry period here, if you will, in North Mac. Education district, because of the uncertainty around the district and the prospect of it closing down, we are just spending the resources that are coming in without issuing long-term debt. I think the priority that was communicated to us and that we're working on is to use the most of the resources we have to fund the streetcar realignment that has been long overdue. So that's really where dollars are going. We have some dollars that are going to housing to help housing with some of the obligations that they have in that district and anticipated, you know, the district being formed, and so there is some money flowing to housing during this time period, but for the most part, it's really around streetcar. We will dispose of the Jasmine block as part of the PSU agreement, but that's, we're going to be donating that property to them, so it won't result in any new resources to the district.
Patrick, I'd just like to note that this realignment is a critical part of making the streetcar a much more reliable form of transportation. Right now, even along 10th and 11th, you pretty much don't know when the streetcar is going to show up. Next year, after we do this work and close the loop, we should have a streetcar running in 10th and 11th every 7 minutes. Okay. And the streetcar has been very valuable as a development tool, but that will make it a heck of a lot more valuable as an actual mode of transportation.
Yeah. This is long overdue, and it was tied in with the Sustainability Center project, so it kind of got caught in that, and that, you know, when that project ended. So it's you know, I'm glad we found a way to figure out to make this happen. The neighborhood prosperity districts, we continue to see great progress within each of our districts. We don't have time to go into each of them individually, but I think, as you know, we've spent the first couple of years really focused on capacity building each of the organizations. It turned out that each of the organizations in these districts they created a new organization to manage the district. And so that's taken time to build that capacity. They all have full-time district managers. And you kind of have to experience each of these districts. I know that Commissioner Fritz was there. Mayor Hales was at the 42nd event a few months back to experience that. I mean, that district manager, you see what the power, what that one staff person can do to help really organize a lot of volunteers and whatnot. So they really are having an impact, but we're just beginning to see that they do have the ability to make small grants that can help with small district improvement initiatives. I will say that we continue to have to balance the the funding needs of these districts, that the, in some districts the TIF isn't coming online as projected. It's to be expected. These are areas where development is really needed, and so we can't expect them to behave like downtown districts in terms of growth and assessed value, and so we continue to balance that with general fund resources as well as other PDC resources. We use enterprise zone resources where they match up with enterprise zone goals. It continues to be a balancing act to maintain funding for the MPI districts.
Patrick, I'm going to put a marker down on this, and I have talked to the mayor about my concern. You had a $100,000 ad package that is not in the proposed budget, and so my understanding is you are looking to shift some budget around in your existing resources and take $60,000 from Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative and $40,000 from Greater Portland Inc. to fund Lentz, MLK, and Old Town Chinatown capacity building. Now, put aside for the question about whether the city might put general fund on the table to fund your ad package. It is not currently funded, and it probably will not be funded. So the question I have is, what other options have you considered for funding this expansion, but not at the expense of existing funding for MPI and Greater Portland Inc.?
Well, we did consider reducing the number of Main Street districts. So we did have a conversation about whether it made sense to sort of have a commensurate number and maintain 8 districts. But in conversations with both Alberta and St. John's, I think they felt like they still have an imperative to, they would very much appreciate to continue to be in the network. And I think Neighborhood Economic Development Budget Advisory Committee recommended that we continue to work with these districts, and so that was where the decision the recommendation to basically reduce all of the districts in terms of staff capacity and technical assistance came from.
So I applaud your decision not to take the funds out of Main Street because there's a number, like Alberta is an example, that I think would cost them a position. But I'm not currently sold on taking a haircut for the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative and Greater Portland Inc. I don't know where my colleagues are, but what I'd be interested in knowing is what additional options we have for you to fund it, assuming you don't get $100,000 of general fund on your ad package.
I don't know that we have options to fully fund the work. There, we can look at creative ways to maybe help push along the Main Street type work using TIF, but funding a district manager is not something we can do with TIF. So we have kind of limitations on that. So there's that possibility. I think we might be at a point where we need to start to look if there's other ways to fund this that don't involve city dollars, whether there's foundation support or something. I think we're at that point with these districts. Each of them are different. I mean, the Old Town work is different than we're trying to do in MLK and Lentz. The Old Town work might be something that is easier to fit into some of our redevelopment work. The work on MLK is completely organizing a Main Street type of effort for the first time. That's the one that's the purest Main Street type work, and like I said, it's not TIF eligible.
So what I would just say is I'm prepared to explore with the mayor an alternative way of funding this, but I prefer to know from you what our options are. So following this hearing, if we could continue this discussion, because I support the idea of expanding some of these programs, but I have a real concern about doing it through, albeit a modest, cannibalization of existing programs. And I think particularly in a growth and investment year, that is not the preferred approach. I would like to see us make the investments and not take money from one group to fund another, unless you tell us that in doing so there's no compromise on capacity and progress made in the MPIs. And what we're hearing is that the MPIs are actually a conspicuous success story. So I'm loath to start cutting if there is an alternative way to fund the expansion.
Yeah, and the MPIs remain the ones that are most challenged in raising outside money. When you go to Rosewood and say, we're going to organize this, Rosewood has or park roads that they mean it's not easy for them to go find outside money, so or to raise it locally from their local businesses as well, which is sometimes how business districts are funded. So I agree. We do not want to be taking support away from the MPIs.
And I will tell you, I have agreed. Staff is putting together a sponsorship program for the MPIs and a list of obvious both corporate and semi-private organizations to go after. And I have agreed to kind of lead that effort and make the phone calls to help make it happen, because these guys have a hard time finding the money within their districts. You need somebody with a bigger sense of
what's going on. Degrade their capacity to do capacity building, it might be counterproductive. And there might even be, you might come back and say, have us reconsider half of the general fund request matched through outside dollars or something. But I just want to know what the options are before we adopt our budget, so the mayor and his colleagues can have that conversation.
Okay, I'll follow up with you on that, just as we will with you, Dan, on the $6 million.
So the last topic, which Commissioner Fish very artfully moved us into, is the general fund. So we've talked to you before about our general fund budget. It really represents no change from the previous year. We had money that was basically deferred for 1 year, added back on the small business working capital side. So that's been added back into our budget. Aside from that, it's basically the budget we've had last year. We've had some changes in how we're spending the dollars, which are shown here. But we continue to support the same programmatic activities on both the neighborhood side and the traded sector side as last year's budget. I don't know if you have anything you want to add on the general fund side.
Okay.
Any questions on the general fund?
All right. Any other questions overall before you wrap up?
No. So we, would ask for direction on our budget, whether it's now or I guess prior to the 28th. I think we need to present a budget to you that to vote on that reflects kind of your priorities, and so that would be the direction we're looking for on particularly on the convention center.
Yeah, we've got a public hearing tomorrow night, of course, and before that we might want to follow up with each of the council members who've raised a question and see what the options.
I'm sorry.
Are.
Yeah, I guess I just my preference is to put the $6 million that's listed under general back into the housing set aside. I don't know where I need to do that or when I need to do that, but that's certainly the goal. I want to say I'm not being rigid either. I mean, I understand if something gels with respect to the Coliseum that really needs that money, I'm open to that too. But I also think that I want to keep it in play for potential affordable housing development in the Oregon Convention Center urban renewal area.
I apologize. I meant it. We have three people testify from our budget
citizen
advisory group.
So here,
we have two from the Central City Advisory Committee and one from our neighborhood group.
So. Okay. Well, we'll close out the presentation with the three of them, and then we will have a public hearing tomorrow night. So come on up. I believe we've got Damien Hall, Helen Ying, and Yonath Kalan here to speak to us, and appreciate your service as volunteers in developing this proposed budget. Who's on first?
Well, good morning. I think I'm on first, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Helen Ying, and I'm joined by Damien Hall, and we're both going to make a few comments on behalf of the Central City Budget Advisory Committee. The PDC Budget Committee has met on four occasions since late 2013 to review the PDC 2014 and 15 work plan and budgets for the seven Central City renewal areas. I understand you heard from other stakeholders last week at the Urban Renewal Area Resolution Hearing, including committee members Brian Newman and with OHSU and Debbie Kitchen with the Central East Side. So as not to duplicate what you heard last week, Damien and I will focus on some of the broad considerations the committee outlined for the future of Portland's Central City, together with additional details about the Old Town Chinatown and Lloyd community priorities. The committee held a robust discussion regarding the future of Portland's Central City, acknowledging that at times there may be tension between some of these recommendations. We jointly agree PDC should invest in projects that have a return and can fund PDC activities going forward, especially in an age of limited tax increment financing. Balance economic development with placemaking activities, continue to support job growth, especially in areas with unique job growth potential, like the $5 million proposed for the CES strategic sites investment. Consider clear criteria and or limit the amount of time larger projects are carried over year to year without resolution. Leverage unique opportunities to support the Central City as an economic hub for all Portlanders, including in Old Town Chinatown, at the U.S. Post Office site, at OMSI, and the ODOT blocks, and the OHSU Schnitzer campus with Knight Center with the Knight Cancer Challenge. Old Town Chinatown, within the River District and downtown waterfront urban renewal areas, is poised today to shape the future of the city while acknowledging and preserving some of its earliest history. I'm pleased to be here today presenting the perspective of three different tables: Old Town Chinatown Community Association, Skidmore Old Town Chinatown Task Force, and of course the PDC Central City Budget Advisory Committee. They all agree that the time is right and overdue for the city to invest in its neglected jewel to bring vitality and vibrancy to Old Town Chinatown. And we support the approximately $50 million in near-term and forecast resources included in the downtown waterfront and river district budgets. Recently, the Community Association held several special meetings to tackle the diverse perspectives on the five-year action plan and the Old Town Chinatown investment proposal you see before you today. I believe you have received a letter that enthusiastically supports the implementation of the PDC's five-year action plan. Our community is committed to keeping the momentum going and being a driving force to help implement and leverage the investment you see in the budget before you. The Community Association has already planned a retreat to be held on June 21st to keep the work moving forward. As I said a year ago when interviewed by the DJC, I said, I think all the challenges that are in Old Town Chinatown can be tackled. What we need is leadership, vision, funding, and people behind the work. If we can get all those four things, we can make it happen. And of course, we need the political will from the city. Today, I'm coming before you to ask for your support for the proposed budget that can help make it happen. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Central City Budget Committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Helen, Mayor, members of Council. My name is Damian Hall, also from the Central City Budget Advisory Committee. Picking up where Helen left off in the River District URA, I'd like to touch on some of the projects, large-scale and long-term projects outside of the Old Town Chinatown area, such as Centennial Mills, 10th and Yamhill, and the post office site. The Budget Committee agreed with PDC's proposal to prioritize near-term investment in Old Town Chinatown, as well as to reduce the post office budget line item from $60 to $30 million. We also support PDC pursuing alternative partnership structure and creative solutions to leveraging the redevelopment of the post office site. The Budget Committee acknowledged the opportunity that improved Centennial Mills offers and found that the 10th and Yamhill garage remains an opportunity to add vibrancy to Portland's retail core as a live-work-play district through redevelopment of added housing to the block. With that in mind, the committee also encourages PDC to identify a process to resolve or walk away from projects that involve multiple years of carryover and represent lost opportunity costs for other investments and activity. Moving on to the Lloyd District, I'd like to turn to the Oregon Convention Center budget, where the strategic investment by the PDC can build the resurgence of private development in the Lloyd District. The Convention Center and Veterans Memorial Coliseum are continuing priorities, and the committee encourages PDC and the city to move towards certainty on both projects. PDC's partnership with the Lloyd Eco District has also been an important component to the early development of the district, and continued investment in and partnership with the Eco District is important to its ongoing success. And turning to the issue that Council spoke to earlier of the additional $6 million in the current draft of the budget towards commercial redevelopment, the Budget Advisory Committee supported that change and recommended to PDC that if that money does become available, that it use towards be used towards resolution of current priorities, namely the Convention Center Hotel, Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and continued partnership with the Eco District. The committee also discussed the interface of PDC's redevelopment and economic development efforts and supports PDC's general fund request related to its traded sector activities because the committee sees a direct correlation between investment and business development and the region's traded sector growth. The committee also discussed opportunities to leverage the city's general fund investments with tax increment-related activities such as the Startup PDX Challenge, which helps small businesses start up, grow, and stay in Portland. Finally, I'd like to comment on PDC's public input process. Having served as a chair on an urban renewal advisory committee for several years, I shared concerns with the shift in the recent shift in policy to the consolidated Central City Budget Advisory Committee. However, I personally feel that the first iteration of the CCBAC has successfully brought together Central City stakeholders to provide much-needed perspectives informed by the group's knowledge of specific opportunities and partnerships in the areas on which we advise. The Budget Advisory Committee looks forward to continued engagement with PDC and the Council on budget, proposed URA amendment process, as well as the public input process. That's all the prepared comments I've gotten. Thank you for the opportunity to present today.
Okay, thank you. So questions for either Damian? I know Jonas wants to speak as well, but it's about other districts. So go ahead. We'll take questions for all of you.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and members of City Council. My name is Jonathan Colon, and I'm representing the Neighborhood Economic Development Leadership Budget Subcommittee. Ryan Arfano, who is our chair, our subcommittee chair, is unable to attend, so I'm here in his place. We're thankful for the council that has allowed time for invited testimony and have some brief comments to share on behalf of the subcommittee. We met four times over the course of the winter and spring to discuss PDC's budget requests. We reviewed both the Urban Renewal District budget and the general fund requests, and I'd like to make some comments on both the URA first and then the general fund. The subcommittee is pleased with the Lent Action Plan and the proposed investments that will lead to mixed-use development in that area. We were recently briefed, the entire NED group was recently briefed on the five-year Lent Action Plan and feel that it really does identify a clear roadmap for future investments in Lent. I understand the council will have an opportunity to hear it later this month, and we believe the budget before you today supports the plan and community priorities. Moving to Gateway, the subcommittee supports the target approach in the Gateway, specifically on the Hull C. Wiley investment strategy. We would like for PDC to continue to support small businesses in that area, specifically with tools like the Storefront Improvement Grant. We're also pretty excited to see some movement and the progress achieved in the 4-acre PDC Park Bureau owned site on 106 in Halsey. Moving on to Interstate, and I've heard the conversation today, and it didn't change much of what we were reporting out. We support the mayor's plan to allocate the $20 million for affordable housing. While the subcommittee is concerned that the cuts to non-housing line items could hurt local businesses and long-term property owners, we also understand from PDC staff that there is the ability to move dollars from other line items in future fiscal years. So we encourage that should the need arise, particularly with some of the programs, the grant programs like the DOS, the Storefront, Community Livability, and the Greens feature. Speaking of projects across all URAs, the subcommittee has encouraged PDC to create a equity impact analysis to screen the potential projects for equity considerations and the impact that the projects have on local residents. And it may get to what Commissioner Nick was speaking of. We look forward to applying the equity impact analysis to future projects in which PDC plays a significant role. So here's the general fund. The subcommittee's biggest concern is regarding the general fund's budget. In our February 3rd letter to City Council as part of the PDC requested budget, the subcommittee requested an add request of general fund's resources to support creating the districts in the Lentz Town Center and the MLK Boulevard Corridor. While we are pleased that this is conceptually supported, we have since learned that the mayor had requested PDC to cut other general fund's priorities for this work. The subcommittee does not support this approach, and it's very concerned with cutting NPI and Main Street budgets when their resources are so limited to begin with. We would rather not have new districts supported in the 14-15 budget for these areas rather than take funds from the existing NPIs and Main Street. Finally, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Other questions for our panelists? That was very clear and very helpful.
Very helpful.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, so we are going to close, unless there are other council questions, we're going to close the.
I just have one more thing to put on the record, because I really appreciate page 25 of the summary about the staffing, that PDC staffing has gone down from 135 to 93 over the last 3 years, and this budget includes cutting another 21.6 positions. So that's evidence that you are working within the resources that you have available, but it's always hard to lose staff, and so I want to just recognize that.
Yeah, it's not been easy work for Patrick and the team, so thank you.
And Mayor, I just have one conceptual question, which is this is the first budget we've considered technically at the expiration of the last major framework for PDC's budget, which was an economic development policy. And it seems to me, so I would welcome any guidance from you as to what your intentions are with respect to that piece, since that is the sort of prism through which we could in the future be evaluating budgets. And my impression based on this presentation is we're continuing with the basic framework that's in place, but at some point, is it your intention to give us a update on where you'd like to take the debate?
Yes, and in fact, as I said last week, we have dealt with the proposal that the council reviewed in the resolution last week with the where of where PDC is going to be focused, and now we want to focus next on the what of what is our economic development strategy going forward, and then obviously what is the specific redevelopment program in each of these URAs, but that's really the next page that we intend to turn in our examination of strategy and policy and bring that to the council.
And what do you anticipate would be the council's role at the front end of that discussion?
Adoption of policy. Yeah.
So this may not be the time or the place, but as we start thinking about how we engage the community around that, what the parameters are, I would welcome a council discussion just to have a sense. One piece of this that I'm actually very interested in learning is how we've done over the last 5 years.
Right.
That's a metric that you want to have evaluated independently. But I also think, I hope at some point we find the time to have that discussion before we go too far down the path so we know what it is we're undertaking, and then we can make sure the council has a chance to opine on some of the moving pieces.
Yeah, I don't know if we have a specific schedule yet, but we're about to go under contract with an outside consultant to do that review, and so I think it is our intention to have work sessions with the council once that enough of that work is completed so that you've got something to chew on. And exactly when that is, it's two, three months, I suspect, before we see the first results of that work. But we're about to get that firm under contract soon.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments or markers to lay down for
one,
the next
one more
discussion?
Question?
Sure.
Patrick, if you can come up here. So is your budget also transferring $5 million in housing from South Park blocks to other purposes?
Oh, I don't.
It's to housing. We're shifting money to housing. That's why I was confused by it, because as part of the URA amendment package, we had proposed making up for the loss of long-term housing dollars in the education urban renewal area by shifting some of the remaining funds in the South Park Blocks urban renewal area into housing.
To housing. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, other questions, comments? And again, we will close this hearing, but reopen it tomorrow at 6:30 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thanks very much. And let's move on to the